Good morning. So I've been working on this message for a couple weeks. A couple days ago, I was at the computer and I'd been there for like 2 hours. And I told Deb, I said, I'm ready for a break. And she went over and looked at the monitor and she says, "That's all you've got?" I felt, oh, great. So it may be a short message is what I'm getting at. Then this morning, I had a bad dream about, it was 5:53 because I looked at the clock. I woke up and I had been having a dream that Dave was given the welcome and announcements and I had lost the my message. I was scrambling all over back there, so that was really going to be a bad day. So this morning I want to give a little background on the author of the passage. Second century sources reported that around AD 70, the year Romans destroyed the temple, John left Jerusalem. He relocated to Ephesus, where he continued his work and lived until nearly AD 100. Ephesus is likely the place where John wrote the three New Testament letters that bear his name. The son of Zebedee, John was the disciple Jesus loved, and that's John 21:20, who also authored the fourth gospel. The elder, 2 John 1, is the title John applied to himself later in life. It is generally accepted John wrote all three letters since there are so many similarities between 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And the passages we're going to study today, if you want to get your Bibles, that should be up above here, is 1 John, and it's 1 through 4. 1 John 1, 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was from the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. And that's God's word. So John's first letter was written to encourage happiness through a close relationship with God and Jesus Christ. This message is meant for all believers, not just for the church leaders. It highlights the importance of shared happiness and questions the idea of a solitary Christian life. It introduces the concept of complete joy, a joy that remains even in tough times. The letter recognizes that there are bad influences around us, but suggests that joy can be a way to resist them and that real joy comes from wanting something more, not just trying harder. In verse 1a, that which from the beginning, this is referring to what most scholars agree, that this is referring to the creation. God revealing himself to us from his creation, and that's Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. When it feels like God is absent, we're tempted to believe he really is, until we step back and take a look and see his creation. His creation is not silent, it screams God. Like many of you here, I enjoy hunting, but not just to go out and kill game. I go out before the sun rises and watch the earth wake up, watch the birds, the squirrels, all the little animals. They all come awake with the sunrise. I feel the sun's warming rays on me and see everything coming to life. In the same way as the sun sets, everything slowly goes to bed. It's like in stages. You see the birds come in, the squirrels come in. It's really neat to watch. Sun rises, the sun sets, are quiet times that I really enjoy communing with God. The sunsets and sunrises we have out here are just unreal. It's beautiful. Another time in the late summer, I want you to get the wrong idea here, Deb and I go out in the country away from city lights and park. We lay in the back of a pickup bed and watch the shooting stars in the sky. There's a certain time frame in like late August, early September that there are a lot of shooting stars in the sky. You get away from the city lights and you can see it a lot better. It's an immense universe, and here we are by one of those stars on a small planet with millions of people. This Creator God loves us so much, He created all of this and sent His Son Jesus Christ so we can have fellowship with Him, the Creator. John tells us that the good news of the Bible promises eternal life and a meaningful two-way conversation with God. Not just saying prayers. This relationship includes divine guidance, advice, and support, which allows us to feel personally connected to God. When our prayer life includes this kind of interaction, it leads to a deep joy, which is the key theme in the Bible. An illustration of this is a get-out-of-jail-free card. One of the best cards you can draw in the game of Monopoly is the get-out-of-jail-free. It completely lets you off the hook when you land in the jail on the board game. That's good news when you find yourself in a game of Monopoly, but we can't confuse this pass with the good news of salvation through Christ. It's never God's idea to give us the gift of salvation as a get-out-of-hell-free card so that we could go on living whatever way we want and not grow any more past our conversion. God's idea of saving us is to transform us from the inside out so that we continue to grow in a relationship with Him. If we have never grown, we need to ask ourselves soberly if we really know Him personally. Romans 8:14-17. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His suffering in order that we may also share in His glory. In verses 1 through 2 of 1 John, the objective truth of Jesus Christ, this was an apostle who has seen, heard, touched Jesus Christ, and proclaims Him the word of life. This isn't secondhand knowledge. This apostle, this man, saw Jesus Christ, talked to Him, touched Him. It's not hearsay or something that was passed from person to person. Jesus was a physical being that was and was there from the beginning of time with God at creation. A lot of religions say you're saved by how you live, what you do. I'm a good person. But you don't know until you die if you did enough. On the day of judgment, it will not be enough. Being a Christian is not a hope, trying, nobody knows for sure. We're a Christian saved by the grace of God through the life of Jesus Christ. We know we're saved. And humility, a deep certainty in spite of flaws and sins. You know you're saved. We have assurance of salvation. We're loved, well-pleasing in His sight, and we know Him. One unique aspect of Christianity is the promise of divine love and approval, emphasizing that we're saved through Jesus Christ's life, not our own. This promise, based on faith and trust and what Christ has done, leads to both humility and confidence. It's not a method or result of positive thinking, but a deep certainty that comes from regular conversations with God and a deep understanding of His love and acceptance. Verse 3, it proclaimed to us so that we may have fellowship with God the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This is for anyone who has eternal life. The letter says Father. The relationship is we're His children. One of the ways you know God is to want to share your relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. If you don't desperately want others to know God, you don't know God. Love, compassion for the people around you. You begin to see people around you from an eternal perspective in what is really important in life. Because we have fellowship with God, this experiences when our mind fills with God's truth and fills our hearts. You can commune with God, have fellowship with Him. These are circumstances that help us grow. Fellowship is to share with God and Jesus Christ something in common, important. John proclaims this so that we may have fellowship, share, experience, commune with God. This is the purpose of Jesus' life, so that we can have fellowship with God the Father. That's what Christ came here for. Wanting to tell others about our faith shows us we have a real relationship with God. This goes against the idea that faith is something private. This urge to share isn't a personal choice, but comes from deep within us based on our experience with God. If we don't have this passion, it could mean we're not growing in our faith. Knowing God is such a big truth that we can't help but want to share it. Personally, I grow closer and learn more about God in hard times and not the good times. I think it's human nature to draw closer then. Deb and I would pray to learn what God wanted to teach us so we could get out of the hard times. You know, tell us what we're supposed to do, Lord, so we can move on. This is probably selfish, and I'm not sure this was the right prayer. We just wanted to get out of the fire. The Bible says that God is our shield in Psalm 28:7. It says, The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him. He helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise Him. That shield doesn't stop everything. If it did, we wouldn't grow. There are things in life that hurt, but when we turn and rely on God, He strengthens us and we learn to grow and to get closer to Him. He's strong when I'm weak. And I just think of, you know, bad things happen to good people, but sometimes we're learning, have something to learn from it. In Romans 8:38-39, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we're safe in Christ. Romans 8:38-39 gives us an exhaustive list intended to cover every possible fear we could have. Issues of mortality, supernatural forces, time, powers, physical space, anything in creation, and proclaim that none of them are able to separate us from God's love. If I hold a wooden pencil in my hand, I can break it pretty easy. But if I insert that pencil in a steel pipe, I won't be able to break it. Just so Christians are safe when they are in Christ. Complete joy. Complete joy enables you to face anything. You cannot seek joy directly. Joy is a byproduct of seeking something else. Unspeakable joy, full of glory. In 1 John verses 1 through 2, the objective truth of Jesus Christ, seen and testified to the truth of Jesus Christ. Verse 3, so that you may have a fellowship with the Father and the Son, and that's present tense. These two things bring joy, knowing God. We cannot pursue both God's will and our own independent will. We have to empty ourselves of one in order to fully embrace the other. When our hearts are surrendered and trusting God, our desires will align with God's, and our joy will be made full. Imagine having a clear jar, and you fill it up with water. And that jar is your heart, and the water are your desires. Now you start putting the marbles, which are God's plans, and His desires. The marble displaces the water, and it goes all over. Makes a mess. So now imagine that same empty jar, but you put the marbles in first. That's God's desires, God's will. Now you pour the water in and fill up the jar. It doesn't displace and make a mess. When we surrender, when our hearts are surrendered because we trust God, there's room for both God's best and our godly desires. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And that's Psalm 37:4. Being friends with God means having a deep connection with Him. It's about letting His character shape our will, shape ours, while being ourselves. This kind of relationship changes how we think and what we care about. It gives us a better understanding of right and wrong and helps us to feel more deeply. It involves wanting to know God without expecting anything in return. Praying without an agenda, sharing the ups and downs of life with Him. It's a fellowship that grows as we read and reflect on His Word, helping us to understand His love more deeply and feel His presence in our lives. And when I was thinking about fellowship, it's not something that happens overnight, and it's a fellowship that grows the more time you spend with them. I think of Deb and I have been married over 48 years now, and the relationship, how it grows and changes over that period of time, is unreal. And that relationship with God is the same way. The more you spend in time in His Word, meditating on it, talking to Him, listening to Him, the better fellowship you have. Joy is like a deep river that runs below the surface. When we have many blessings and things are going good, that river overflows. Our joy is bountiful in these times. When we're in a dry season of life or in some really hard times, that river's still there, but it's down deep in our souls. We just need to fellowship with God. Everyone sitting here and outside these walls has things going on in their lives or the lives of loved ones that is testing our faith, fellowship, and relationship with God. We need to meditate on God's Word, talk with Him, bring our praises, blessings, sorrows, doubts, longings, you fill in the blank, and even our anger to God. He cares and will be with us through all of life's ups and downs. A few years ago, I didn't think I was going to live any longer. My cancer and the cancer treatments had pretty well destroyed my health. Your prayers and the prayers of those helped me to talk to God and to focus on Him. I knew regardless of what would happen, I was going to be all right. Gone from this world, but present with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Until we go through these hard trials, do we truly experience the peace and joy that only comes from our fellowship with God. That's the things that get through the shield that make us closer and stronger. It also enables us to share with others in similar situations. In closing, there's a hymn that came to me when I was preparing this. It goes, "Joyful, joyful, we adore Thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before Thee, opening to the sun above. Melts the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day." I'd like to close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, this is our prayer. You are the Lord of love, the God of glory, and we adore You. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away, and fill us with your light and joy. Amen.